Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of TGS Arena One, I would like to welcome you to the conference call where we are going to present and discuss company's results for the first half of 2019. We will take you through the presentation that is available for download on our website, www.ppfarenaone.eu, in the investor section under the header Financial Reports. First of all, let me introduce today's speakers who will give the presentation and who will be available to answer your questions after the presentation. I'm pleased to introduce Mr. Ladislav Bartoníček, the CEO of PPF Arena One and one of the three shareholders of the PPF Group.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Marek Sláček, Chief Commercial Officer of PPF Arena One.
Hello, everyone.
Mr. Lukáš Kubesa, Financial Manager of PPF Arena One.
Hello.
My name is Jan Tomaník. I'm Investment Manager of PPF Group. The presentation will be structured in three blocks. First, for those on this call who are not familiar with our story yet, we will briefly introduce PPF Group and PPF Arena One. Second, we will provide an update on our operating and financial performance in the first half of the year. Last, there will be a Q&A session. Now I would like to hand over to Mr. Bartoníček to open the presentation.
Hello, everyone, once again. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. This is the first investor call that PPF Arena is conducting. We have published our half-year financial results yesterday. In March, we got a crossover rating from Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch rating agencies, and we launched PPF Arena One Eurobond program with inaugural issuance of notes worth 550 million euro. The proceeds were used for a partial refinancing of PPF Arena One bank loans. We are committed to maintain a responsible relationship with the investor community and to keep you informed on operational and financial performance of PPF Arena One. By way of introduction, let me run two key highlights on PPF Group, which is sole shareholder of PPF Arena One. Follow me, please, on slide five. PPF Group is the largest international investment group in Central Eastern Europe. It resides in Netherlands, and its operational headquarter is based in Prague, Czech Republic. We operate in 23 countries, mainly across Europe and Asia. PPF Group has almost 30 years of successful track record. Assets of PPF Group exceeds 45 billion euro as of the end of 2018. Shareholders' equity grew up to 7.5 billion euro. We generated a net profit of 865 million euro last year, and together with our investee companies, we employ 158,000 FTEs worldwide. Being an investment group, PPF is different from traditional private equity funds. We don't invest third-party money, and our investment horizon is not time-limited. Key components of PPF portfolio, including telecommunications, are typically buy and hold investments, which we develop over extended period of time, in certain cases, even for more than two decades. One of the key strengths of PPF Group is its straightforward private ownership structure that allows for efficient and pragmatic decision-making. 99% of the group is controlled by its founder, Mr. Petr Kellner. PPF Group manages a portfolio of investments which is well diversified, both geographically as well as from industry perspective. three fundamental pillars of the group are consumer finance, telecommunications, and real estate. These three sectors together represent almost 80% of PPF's invested equity. Other sectors comprised in PPF Group portfolio include machinery, biotech, e-commerce, insurance, entertainment, and agriculture. So it was for the introduction of PPF Group, and now let me hand over back to Jan Tomaník.
Thank you. If you follow me to slide 6, I would like to bring your attention back to PPF Arena 1 and summarize its key credit characteristics. First of all, PPF Arena 1 possesses strong portfolio of superior telecommunication assets. Our telco businesses are typically in market-leading positions and operate under strong commercial brands. Secondly, we do our business in stable markets with potential for further growth. Telco market in the countries of our presence returned back to moderate but sustainable underlying growth. Third, our earnings are well diversified, both geographically as well as between retail services and telecommunication infrastructure wholesale. This unique combination gives us an advantage of stable and predictable cash flows. PPF Arena 1 credit strengths are now reflected in crossover rating from three rating agencies that we got in March this year: BB Plus from Standard & Poor's, BA1 from Moody's, and BBB Minus from Fitch. We placed inaugural issue of Eurobonds worth $550 million with 7-year term in March this year. Our bonds pay 3 1/8 coupon and are listed on the stock exchange in Dublin. As you can see on the map shown on slide 7, we are present in 6 countries. Our geographic footprint is some kind of a belt of countries stretching from Czech Republic in the northwest of CE down to Bulgaria in southeast CE. 60% of EBITDA of PPF Arena 1 is still generated in Czech Republic and Slovakia, which are in fact home countries of PPF Group. Both Czech Republic and Slovakia have an outstanding macroeconomic profile and prospects within Central and Eastern Europe region. Through the acquisition of CE assets from Norwegian Telenor, completed in July 2018, we are now also present in Hungary, Bulgaria, Serbia, and Montenegro. Except for the latter two countries, all are European Union member states. Over the past couple of years, Telenor CE countries, together contributing roughly 40% of our EBITDA, have also significantly improved their macroeconomic standing, closed down any macroeconomic imbalances, and now offer superior growth prospects in our view. Another driver, which we consider crucially important, is that competition on telco markets in our countries is actually muted to manageable. Market shares have stabilized. None of our existing competitors is aggressively pushing on grabbing market share to the extent that it would be significantly harming markets where we operate. And neither we are challenged by any aggressive, meaningful fourth mobile operators or new entrants on the markets where we are present. Slide 8 illustrates how PPF Arena 1 Group is structured. It consists of three segments. First is O2 Czech Republic, which also includes its fully owned subsidiary in Slovakia. Second is Cetin, and third is Telenor CE portfolio. PPF Group entered telecommunications in 2013 by acquiring O2 Czech Republic from Telefonica. O2 is fixed mobile integrated operator, actually former incumbent, and market leader with broad portfolio of mobile and fixed services offered to all sorts of customers. O2 remained listed on Prague Stock Exchange with approximately 16% free float. PPF Arena 1 holds 66% stake in O2. Fully owned subsidiary O2 Slovakia is a successful market challenger. It predominantly targets residential customers and has been successfully and steadily gaining market share from its larger competitors since its market entry in 2007. In 2015, PPF separated O2's network assets in Czech Republic, including mobile towers, radio access network, and fixed network, into completely newly established infrastructure company Cetin. We believe this was the first voluntary structural separation of telco infrastructure of this kind in Europe, if not globally. As the largest telecommunication infrastructure operator in the country, Cetin offers the services of its nationwide fixed network to any telco operator on a wholesale basis. Furthermore, Cetin also operates a shared mobile network for both O2 and T-Mobile. Cetin is itself an investment-grade rated company by Moody's and Fitch, and it issued $950 million worth of Eurobonds back in 2016. Telenor CE includes four mobile operators in market-leading positions, which enjoy excellent brand recognition and deliver strong financial performance for PPF Arena One. Likewise, our headquarters team is now intensively working with Telenor CE management teams in exploring options how to expand their activities from nowadays mobile-only businesses to fixed mobile convergent business. We now proceed to second part of our presentation, update on our operating and financial results for the first half of 2019. So let me please give the floor back to Mr. Bartoniček for his opening comments on our recent performance.
So, if you can go now to slide number 10, let me comment a little bit about the first half of 2019. It was a pretty successful period for PPF Arena One. We've been delivering on our strategy and ambitions that we had presented in March. We encountered neither any new major challenges nor any headwinds on our markets. First, our markets have remained fairly stable from both competition as well as regulation perspective. More advanced countries in our footprint, specifically Czech Republic and Hungary, are preparing 5G spectrum auctions in which we intend to participate. Second, the integration of Telenor business, CEE business, into PPF Arena One is principally finished. New corporate governance model is implemented and up and running. We work across the group to identify and share best practices. PPF Arena One headquarters has taken lead in select key strategic projects, which are worth standardizing and running across the group to benefit from economies of scale and increase bargaining power vis-a-vis suppliers and partners. Our underlying mobile service revenue increased by 2.6% year-on-year. Since we rigorously try monetizing growing data consumption and lifting up ARPU of our mobile subscribers to the extent possible on our markets. In the Czech Republic, we saw a turnaround in number of active fixed broadband services provided by Cetin on wholesale basis, as well as in number of O2's retail fixed broadband subscribers. We are evaluating if, when, and how to expand current Telenor CE mobile-only operations into FMC. Thanks to supportive top-line momentum, stringent cost control, no major negative regulatory impacts, as well as positive impact of newly adapted IFRS 16 standard, our consolidated report EBITDA for first half of 2019 jumped up by 14% compared to a year ago. Now, Marek Slaček, the Chief Commercial Officer, will carry you on his insights to our strategy and initiatives.
Thank you, Mr. Bartoniček. Let me give you some key highlights on the commercial performance of our operating units. I'm on slide 11. First of all, it's important to say that we still live in a positive economic environment, and that is favorably impacting our business. But we also do see quite rational behavior of most of our competitors in the markets where we operate, which is important for the market stability. We see all the players pretty much focusing on the data monetization within their current customer base, as the markets are saturated and the growth is very difficult to generate growth from the new customer intake. That typically disrupts the value creation. If you look at specifically on the O2 side, we see solid operating revenue growth of 2.1% in the first half, and that has been driven by extremely good performance on bundling of fixed mobile and TV services. That was really a key driver for O2, accompanied with very nice growth of mobile data and financial services, which were compensating for declining voice and messaging revenues. Some of you probably know that O2 has invested quite a lot of money into sports content, and that content was key to drive TV, O2 TV performance, which has been helping to differentiate O2 as well as help to bundle, drive bundling efforts. Very good performance also on the SMB side, 9%, very encouraging, and obviously leveraging strong retailing competences. It's also important to mention that O2 has, in this half of the year, managed to turn around the fixed performance, meaning that we are now taking customers in and able to grow the customer base on the O2 side again. Moving to set in just few key highlights. This fixed broadband turnaround has also reflected on the set-ins performance, where we see actually all operators driving now growth of set-in fixed B2C connectivity, but we also see growing demand for new mobile infrastructure as the data growth is just happening as we speak. Moving to Telenor, the growth of 3.8% is really outstanding. And it's somehow driven by really great pricing discipline and reasonable market moves of all the players, where we try to obviously contribute by a number of pricing initiatives, which helped us not only to retain but grow actually the average revenue per user, and helped us to in a way drive the growth, service revenue growth in our CE markets. We do focus our own customer base. We focus on keeping the leadership of our network perception, which is very key for sustaining some of the ARPU premiums we actually have in some of our markets, namely in Serbia, and obviously also leverage some important sources of growth which are still out there for new customer intake, which is pre-to-post migration, SOHO segment, and fixed wireless access segment to be mentioned. If you move to slide 12, that gives you more of a visual reference as to what O2 does in the Czech Republic. I don't want to go through every single box, but I think some of the key things are just recently O2 has launched unlimited data plans, it has to be said that the market has been in a way moved into that unlimited game, but the way this has been handled and executed on was done in a very responsible manner, meaning that yes, we have data plans today in the market, but we have them at very healthy ARPU levels, and O2 has introduced actually a speed caps, which allowed O2 to upsell customers still within those unlimited data plans. You see a lot of TV content being used in the marketing activities, as TV has a very strong O2 TV product with some very strong content positions. And obviously, perhaps the last to mention, WTTX rollout, meaning the wireless to the home fast broadband internet, complementing the fixed infrastructure in areas where we don't have the fast broadband connectivity, has been really key for O2 to deliver that turnaround in the fixed services. Moving to my last slide, which is slide 12, just some of the key highlights of the Telenor activities. You see P3 best in test stamp from Serbia, which is very important for our ARPU premium in Serbia, which we've gotten actually recently and very proudly communicating. You have a lot of pricing activities, launching new price plans with more for more principle and bundling digital services to drive more upsell. And then you obviously see a lot of device-related activities to make sure that we are able to facilitate pre-to-post migration, bring customers on long-term contracts, and enjoy our financing schemes and options on these postpaid plans. These are, I think, the main highlights that I wanted to drive your attention to. Over to Jan.
Thank you, Marek. Let me now give you more detailed picture on first half 2019 results, starting from the slide 14. These unaudited results were prepared in accordance with IFRS, including new IFRS 16 standard, which has been applied since the 1st of January 2019 and affected our reported EBITDA and balance sheet by capitalization of operating leases. On slide 14, we lay out summary of our key operating and financial metrics on consolidated group basis. In terms of mobile subscribers, our consolidated subscriber base remained broadly flat. However, more importantly, share of contract postpaid subscribers increased by 2 percentage points over the same period last year, bolstering ARPU and fueling growth in mobile service revenues. In fixed segment, Cetin first recorded small growth after several years of decline. Next, fixed broadband and IPTV active lines addition increased by approximately 30,000 and 40,000 respectively. This turnaround comes as a result of Cetin's multi-year investment program aims to upgrade its fixed network, mostly by rolling out fiber to the cabinet, so-called FTTC, and deploying most advanced XDSL technologies to increase data speeds on shortened copper last mile. Consolidated revenues, excluding Cetin's low-margin international wholesale voice transit, grew by approximately 1% year-over-year, as mobile service revenues growth more than compensated some decline in hardware sales. EBITDA increased by 14% year-over-year. 48 million euros increment is, however, attributable to IFRS 16 adoption. On like-for-like pro forma basis, EBITDA growth would still account for very solid 6% year-over-year. Capital expenditures remain broadly on the same level as last year, just south of 160 million euros, despite some spectrum investment done in first quarter of 2019. Capital expenditures of O2 Czech Republic decreased after it had successfully commissioned and paid for its new IT stack in the second half of 2018. In 10 or CE countries, we still benefit from well-invested 4G networks with country-wide coverage, which we took over from our predecessor. In first 6 months of the year, we generated 319 million euros of consolidated free cash flows. If IFRS 16 was excluded, a decrease to 278 million of free cash flows is attributable just to the moves in capex payables in O2 and some outflow in net working capital in Telenor CE. On next slide, let me just bring your attention to the fact that all our business units positively contributed to consolidated revenue and EBITDA growth of the group. Slide 16 presents country-by-country detail on our mobile subscriber base. Trend of subscriber base growth was maintained in O2 Slovakia. It is actually consistent with its market positioning, it being a challenger to bigger rivals on the market, T-Mobile and Orange. Subscriber count of O2 Czech Republic also slightly picked up, as it is catching up with T-Mobile. For better in-market comparability and in accordance with its competitors, O2 Czech Republic started reporting its subscribers on 13-month active basis, which actually differs from 3-month active basis applied by our other business units. Subscriber base in Telenor CE units was flat to actually slightly declining. It, however, reflects a trend of consolidation of secondary or tertiary SIM cards used by one customer, and a general decline in mobile penetration of those markets as a whole, which we perceive to be actually a healthy development. And a share of contract subscribers increased by 2 to 3 percentage points across our footprint. On slide 17, you can see ARPU evolution in our business unit over past year as reported internally in PPF Arena 1 KPIs. In second quarter, blended ARPU meaningfully grew in Telenor Hungary and Telenor Bulgaria at high single-digit pace compared to the same period last year. O2 Slovakia likewise keep a positive ARPU momentum with 5% year-over-year ARPU growth in second quarter of 2019. O2 Czech Republic, as a listed entity, ceased reporting its ARPU in the second quarter 2019 because neither its competitors on the market do. We hereby present at least ARPU proxy calculated from O2's total mobile service revenues divided by average number of subscribers, which slightly declined. That decline is caused by growing number of low ARPU machine-to-machine SIM cards, which O2 also started reporting separately since the second quarter. As plotted on the slide 18, statistics published by Analysis Mason show that mobile revenue market shares have overall remained principally stable over the past couple of years, including the latest currently available data point for the first quarter of 2019. We have been consistently increasing our market share in Slovakia. We have also recently marginally improved our market share in Serbia and Bulgaria thanks to new propositions with generally more disciplined pricing. Sole country where we have admittedly been losing market share in revenues according to Analysis Mason database is Montenegro, which is, however, the smallest business unit of PPF Arena 1, and it does not materially impact the group. Slide 19 summarizes our performance on wholesale and retail fixed markets. As we already highlighted before, number of active fixed broadband lines of Cetin recovered from the trough in first half of 2018 and grew to 918,000 active lines as of the end of second quarter, up by almost 3% year over year. Thanks to targeted investments, Cetin managed to significantly accelerate in fixed network as demonstrated by the increase in penetration of lines faster than 20 megabits per second by almost 50 percentage points compared to 2015. Furthermore, broadband speeds faster than 50 megabits per second are now available to more than half of Cetin wholesale subscriptions. On the retail side, turnaround occurred also in subscribers to O2's fixed broadband services. O2 served 822,000 subscribers to XDSL, WTTX, and fixed home LTE connectivity as of the end of second quarter, up 2.4% compared to the same period a year ago. The fastest growing fixed service line of O2 is indeed its IPTV, which is either bundled with O2's fixed broadband or also made accessible to anyone as over-the-top service. O2's unique proposition of advanced TV functionalities and exclusive sport content attracted 381,000 unique subscribers as of the end of second quarter 2019, and O2 actually managed to add almost 100,000 subscribers over last 12 months. The detailed financial results by individual operating businesses are shown on the slide 20. And I would now ask Lukáš Kubesa, Group's financial manager, to comment on PPF Arena One's balance sheet and leverage ratios.
Good afternoon. So if we can jump over the slide 20, which is just a recap of what Jan described before, you can join me on slide 21. I will briefly explain the main changes on our financial position since the end of 2018. Essentially, there are three main significant changes in our consolidated balance sheet since the end of 2018 with larger impact. Firstly, it is the adoption of IFRS 16 standard from January 2019. You will see that we are newly reporting right-of-use assets in our assets in the amount of 519 million euros, together with the corresponding liability of 510 million euros. These are mostly leases of our real estate for our mobile towers, technology buildings, and office spaces. We have adopted IFRS 16 using modify a retrospective approach, which means that previous period was not restated. Secondly, you may notice that we have higher balance of cash and cash equivalent compared to the end of 2018. Partially is because in O2 there was accumulation of cash for the dividend payment, which happened at the beginning of July 2019, and from which approximately 68% is attributable to the PPF Arena One group. In addition to this, we are preparing ourselves for the expected 5G spectrum auctions, which are scheduled this year in Hungary, early next year in Czechia, and later next year in Slovakia. So we have enough leverage ratio to maintain our threshold after these auctions. And thirdly, you will know that PPF Arena One issued the 550 million worth of euro bond in March to partially refinance the bank term loan. New Schuldschein notes were issued by O2 in the amount of 160 million euro. The rest of the balance sheet is pretty straightforward. Fixed assets grew in line with our CapEx for the new telecommunication network investments and spectrum licenses, less the usual depreciation and amortization. The main change in equity was payment of dividends of 120 million euro to the shareholders of PPF Arena One. On slide 22, I would like to summarize our total financial debt position. At the nominal value of the outstanding principal, you will see that the vast majority of the financial debt is held at PPF Arena One level, in line with our financial policy. The majority is term loans at PPF Arena One level, that is the loan related to the acquisition to the Telenor subsidiaries last year. Some term loans due next year is also in O2, where the group does not have exercise direct control. A growing part of group debts is long-term bonds. Cetin has 5 and 7 years bonds due in 2021 and 2023, and PPF Arena One issued the first bonds earlier this year with 7-year tenor. As you can observe, the group does not have any immediate or short-term need to refinance any debt. O2 term loan matures in more than 12 months in December 2020, or to raise new cash. Let me just remind you that PPF Arena One has a 3 billion Eurobond program open, of which we have up till now utilized 550 million euros for the issued bond. Due to substantial amount of cash and the improved EBITDA, the group has as the end of the June 2019, the consolidated net leverage was 2.7 multiple of last 12 months EBITDA, excluding IFRS 16 impact. The net leverage slightly decreased since the end of 2018, when it stood at 2.9 multiple of EBITDA. As you can see, we have a sufficient headroom between the current leverage and our threshold for net leverage. So this is all from my side, so thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of the company presentation. We are now ready to take your questions. Operator, we are ready to take the first question, please.
Thank you, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. And if you are listening online and would like to ask a question, please click on the flag icon on the bottom left-hand side of your screen. It appears we have no telephone questions, so I'll hand back to you.
Thank you very much for attending our today's call. If you still have any follow-up questions, you are welcome to contact our investor relations, Jan Hook, and we will be glad to answer. Now, on behalf of the company, I would like to terminate the call. Thank you very much for your attention. We are happy to engage with you in following weeks or months. Goodbye.